From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Fake news is one of the great scourges of our times, undermining public trust in media in general. The term has been weaponized by our president, even as journalism faces its own challenges, such as an ongoing lack of diversity. But journalism, especially investigative and first-person accounts, are critical not only to raise public awareness of issues, but also to assist in legal cases of marginalized communities and people. To that end, a group of lawyers has joined forces with journalists in a project called the Community-Based Newsroom. My guest is Chomtholi Huck. She is an editor and attorney with the group Law at the Margins, which is spearheading the project. Welcome to the program, Chomtholi.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's talk about the need for such a project. I very briefly outlined it, and it certainly seems to be true that depending upon where you fall in the political spectrum, you might treat with great skepticism certain news outlets, deserved or not, or you might just be the kind of person who feels that no journalist is to be trusted today. How critical is it for us to understand that there really is a crisis of trust?
Yeah, no, I think this is something that I came to the community-based newsroom as a lawyer for over 20 years and trying to tell my client stories or community stories to mainstream media. I think that it's kind of come to a crisis, if you will, in the current political condition, which you mentioned. Also, we're seeing a lot of local news outlets, local neighborhood papers closing. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. those were the sites where community organizers, lawyers, and activists should at least find a space to tell their client stories. So as some of those spaces have been closed, we see this, what we call a news desert, where mainstream media, saw in the Times with discussion about the future of LA Times, there's conversation about larger broadcast media, but most of those do not cover community stories, community struggles. And so Law at the Margins, myself as a lawyer, and Eric Ortiz, who is a veteran journalist, saw the need to tell the stories of marginalized communities. And it's not just for awareness. Definitely that's key. But what we both found was that since these stories are not being told, people don't see that as an issue, and therefore there's not a lot of advocacy that happens around those stories.
And what is the role that stories, journalism about issues, what is the role that it plays in the legal sphere? As a lawyer, you must be much more aware than somebody like me about, we don't necessarily think about how journalism does, sort of help people win cases.
Yeah, absolutely. So at a very basic level, just even saying that a particular person has this complaint or grievance or case filed is a basic level in which law and media in my own career I've seen cases where the law is not as strong, but the human element, the sympathy, the compassion is very strong. And there's a really strong way to get public perception in favor of a particular issue. And so I think humanizing people is another way in which journalism really plays a key role. As lawyers, we tell the story in a very narrow way. We try to plug in our story into a case or a complaint. And so oftentimes we don't really tell the full story of a person. So for example, our inaugural piece from Kathleen Carlin, who is a mother and an accidental activist really because of her daughter's incarceration in Lowell Correctional Facility, her first person account of what it's like to have one, a daughter who's incarcerated, and also to see firsthand prison conditions. Now, as an activist and advocate, I can write reports and I can tell you how horrible it is, but there's something about the human story, the mother sharing her pain, and also how she's been transformed by this. She's now an activist for other women who are incarcerated in Laurel who do not have family members. So I think that journalists and these stories really play a key role. We haven't been talking about the investigative side. Lawyers have the tool of the Freedom of Information Act that can get information. And so BuzzFeed's recent FOIA of NYPD disciplinary actions that are now going to be posted. So there's a lot of synergy between lawyers and journalists.
Right. I mean, people remember that investigative journalism can absolutely not just win cases, but change policy. I mean, we remember the sort of Erin Brockovich-style stories, right?
In fact, that recently came up with a law intern who said, hey, when I think of myself as an advocate, I think of myself as sort of the Erin Brockovich type of advocate. And so I think there's more scope for that. And I think law at the margins, just so that you know, we're a voluntary based collective. We rely on individual donors. So we have no pretense that we're going to cause thunder in the mainstream corporatized media. But I think what we'd want to demonstrate is that the pairing of lawyers, media, and also the third person to this team is Albert Garcia, who is our media technologist, sort of using technology and the web platform to promote these stories, is bringing all of these synergies together and telling the story we think can be impactful, but really on the local level, because there are so many local stories and activism that is happening, but it doesn't get really lifted up on the national scale. And so we are interested in really facilitating that with the help of, Eric as the journalist, myself with the eye towards how the law and policy work, and then Albert as someone who knows sort of how to push these information out, because technology helps us, right, to at least disseminate things that maybe you would need more resources to do.
Virtual. It's a very effective tool for proliferation of, unfortunately, fake news, but also it's a tool that can be used to drown out the fake news with real news. I want to ask you about how stories like the one that your inaugural story by this mother of an imprisoned woman can be a prompt for a major media outlet that does have the funds to do much more in-depth investigation, because often such stories are brought to the New York Times or the LA Times through a journalist perusing smaller outlets and seeing, oh, here's a story worth expanding on. So it can, in a way, even be a feeder for some better funded investigative research, right?
Yeah. And we have no shame in saying that larger outlets, if you see our stories that we are curating, right? So the stories are told not raw, meaning they are edited both by a journalist and myself. And so in partnership and keeping the authenticity of the person who's telling the story, but it definitely can be a feeder. We already have had success on this. So the community-based newsroom comes out of a story that we had done around community care, self-care. A lot of activists were complaining that post-Trump, they heightened stress and anxiety. And so there was a need for more self-care. And so from there, we hosted a webinar and wrote articles about this issue, but we called it community care because we said that not everyone can go and take a vacation and go, have yoga, when they have to work 9 to 5 and get minimum wage, but there are different ways of doing community care. That article, that concept got lifted up in an article at the New York, LA Times. And in fact, the way that I met Eric was through that advocacy work around changing how we talk about self-care. And so we already see in a very small scale that it's actually very possible to do that. I think for larger media, it's not profitable for them to focus on these stories. And so if we can provide the platform for stories that are not told, we're connected to the community. Myself, doing this work for 20 years with grassroots groups, I know where the stories are coming from. I can see the trends in a way that a larger media cannot. But we also want the larger media that have maybe, including yourself with Free Speech TV, that have a wider audience to be able to really disseminate wider. So we do see that it's already shown potential. We just need to continue to, you know, make the case, as we're trying to do, for folks to come forward and share their stories. And we encourage folks to do that.
And how can community-based newsroom, your project, also counter the continuing trend among newsrooms to be dominated by white men? We still have not nearly enough representation of women and people of color in newsrooms. There is not the parity with the population diversity. And that, of course, can end up being an inadvertent filter in the mainstream media. The profit motive also, unfortunately, becomes a filter. But just sticking with the issue of lack of diversity in newsrooms, even as newsrooms get less and less funding and have to lay off more and more people, that becomes even more exacerbated. How does a community-based newsroom counter that trend?
Well, because we work directly with community-based organizations, we partner with them in terms of lifting up stories. But just as a very basic level, you know, myself as the editor and founder, being a woman of color, Muslim woman, immigrant, I'm going to, just by virtue of my life experiences, tell or see certain stories that might not be seen in a newsroom that's predominantly white or male. Our pairing of Albert in Miami, myself in New York, Eric in Los Angeles, each of us are very much connected to multiple communities and different diverse communities. And so I think through that, I think we can also demonstrate the importance of diversity, right, in telling the story. So we hope that we can have more journalists work with us and more community-based groups and individuals. So I think I know it sounds so simple, but I think just being ourselves and coming from diverse communities and identities, we're able to lift up stories that I think larger media is not going to, they just won't see. They won't see it as a story. As a woman, to see something that Kathleen talks about in an article, that feminine hygiene products are not provided for women who are incarcerated, right? If you're a male, even if you're a male of color, you're not going to see that as an issue of concern,
right,
and or an issue of advocacy. So I think that, you know, that's where I think we, the community-based newsroom, because we're virtual, because we have the flexibility of working with community-based organizations throughout, you know, United States, and in partnership, we can have a certain flexibility, perhaps, that more established newsrooms, you know, don't have. And so I think in that way, we can cut some of this, the fake news, the lack of diversity that that you're sort of signaling. And we talk a lot about that in our inaugural article about why we decided to pilot this. We really, you know, want to show that this is important. This can be done. And
so
and
do you hope that it's a model for other,
yes,
sort of similar,
yes,
collaborations between, you know, social justice motivated attorneys or people in the sort of legal field that do the kind of work you do and journalists?
Yes, we see this as a model. You know, we are really primarily a law and media nonprofit, more sort of develop innovative models. We don't see ourselves having the, you know, million or billion dollar sort of, maybe someone will watch this and say, hey, you know, we're going to invest in our newsroom. We hope so. But I think that if others see our model, see that it works, and then replicate it on a grassroots level, I think that we would feel like we are being successful. We want to bring together journalists, other lawyers, and also organizers, and obviously people who are impacted, to tell the stories. We're just beginning, and we hope that folks will see this as valuable. But like I said earlier, in the articles that we've done already, we've seen some positive impact.
If there's someone watching or listening this interview that feels like there's a story that they know about that really needs to be told, a story affecting a community or a person that signals a larger cause, what can they do? Would you recommend they contact you?
Yes, so they can just email us at editors@lawatthemargins.com. In our community-based newsroom website, there's also a sign-up sheet where they can pitch a story to us, and then we will contact them. And our model, I think what makes our model innovative is that it's not that someone sort of writes a story and then we just publish it, like a
Like a
blog. It
blog
gets
post, right? Yeah.
vetted through a journal. So right now our collaborator is Eric Ortiz, and it gets vetted through me with the eye towards what are the legal gaps, what are the advocacy gaps out there. So it goes through this sort of two lens, if you will, the sort of journalist lens, and then me as the sort of lawyer and then also longtime organizer lens.
So that it
And
can
so
have a
it's
really important impact socially. Yeah.
right. So it's not doesn't feel not that this is that's wrong, but it doesn't feel sort of confessional or I'm just sort of writing, something what I feel like off the top of my
Like
head.
a
These are
memoir, yeah.
cute, right? It's curated. We also want to we talk we work with the writer. In this case, we worked with Kathleen to say, okay, what about this? And let's add some more details here. The kind of questions and back to your fake news of to make sure that balancing the integrity of her story, right? Not having our voice override that, but at the same time making sure that what we're putting out there also is has gone through sort of a journalist and also other lens that would make it
Right.
impactful, right?
As
It doesn't.
somebody who does print journalism, I know how important it is to have good editors.
Right. Yes, and it's hard,
Yeah.
but we're willing
Yeah.
to and committed to doing that, and we really encourage anyone who wants to have a story that where they're impacted by law. So our focus is stories, because there are lots of stories out there, right? And so directly impacted folks where there's sort of some policy or law that's impacting their lives, and that's the stories we want to lift up.
Well, Chomtoli, give out that website again where people can read the inaugural story and the stories that'll be coming.
Sure. So they can look at the stories at lawatthemargins.com, and it's in our community-based newsroom. And anyone is interested in pitching a story, they can send me an
Great.
email at editors@lawatthemargins.com.
And we'll
Thank
post
you
a
so
link to
much.
that. Thank you so much for joining us, Chomtoli. Good
Thank
luck with the
you.
project.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
My
Bye-bye.
guest is Chomtoli Hawk. She's an editor and attorney with Law at the Margins. We've been discussing her new project, Community-Based Newsroom. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.